another round of racing and rocking with Dragnest.com. Staging in the wet plane is your host, founder and creator of the Draglist, Bill Pratt. And in the right lane, John, the Wildcat One. You're going to hear news and interviews from the world of drag racing, both now and then. So get yourself situated, pull your belts tight, grab your favorite beverage, and get ready for some racing and rocking.
Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome to Racing and Rockin' with Draglist.com, produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. I'm Bill Pratt. It's great to be with you tonight, because tonight we feature Doug Dahl Jr., the 2016 NHRA Mellow Yellow Series Competition Eliminator Champ. I'll ask some racing questions. John will ask some rockin' questions. We'll find out a lot about this racing champion. You can join us on our live chat during the show right now. Just go to racersreunion.com, click on the chat, and join all your pals out there. But without further ado, I'd like to bring in Mr. Doug Dahl Jr. Doug, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's so great to have you on. And as we're peeking around the internet, here's the statement. No driver in the history of the comp class has ever scored more points than Doug Dahl Jr. That's freaking amazing. Tell us who told you that the first time, and what do you think about it?
I think it was Bob Fry who confirmed that we had the highest total ever scored by a comp racer. And he also confirmed that we were only the second person ever to actually have a perfect season.
Wow.
As well as Frank Manzo.
What an amazing season. Congratulations. So driving for Tina Mover Charlie Greco, of course, you've won Indian Super Comp, so, a great Super Comp racer. And I was explaining to somebody here that didn't know drag racing what Super Comp was all about. I'm like, this guy nailed it. And this is, here's what he has to do to win. But, tell us about what it's like to transition to Comp Eliminator, where you don't have a breakout unless you just don't want to nail your index or CIC. Tell us what it was like to transition between those two classes.
Well, driving the top end was pretty much the same thing, just making sure you take the stripe instead of giving it up like you want to on Super Comp sometimes. But the biggest thing, the hardest thing for me to get used to was probably the 5/10 full tree versus the pro tree we use in Super Comp. It took a lot of practice and a lot of help from some good friends who kind of helped me make that transition.
Really, that's super awesome. And as we mentioned, you mentioned earlier, a rare perfect season, 8 wins in 8 scored events. The last guy who almost did that was like Don Perdomo back in 76. I mean, when it was Amazing Army Monza. But I mean, comp is so incredibly difficult, so many high tech combinations, so many good drivers. I mean, these guys must have just, what were they thinking? What did your fellow competitors tell you as you were just racking up the wins and you seemed to be unstoppable?
Well, I knew when I had took the ride, when Charlie had offered me the ride, I knew it was a great car and I was getting involved with a great team. I knew that we would have some success, but I can't say that I ever expected to have success that we did. I mean, Dave Yedini, our crew chief, I mean, he's just so talented and so easy to work with, and he was very patient with me and my mistakes as a driver, and anytime we messed up, we learned from it and we moved on and we came back stronger the next race. But like I said, when you're working with guys that are as talented as them, it really put a lot of pressure on me to make sure I did my job, but at the same time, knowing that they were behind me, you couldn't ask for a better crew.
That's unbelievable. So let's just run them down here. You've won national events in Epping, Norwalk, and Charlotte, plus your 5 NHRA Lucas Oil Drag Racing Series divisional wins. So, I mean, you just ran the table this year. Did you start, what was the point when you started to say, man, we might win this doggone thing? Did you start thinking that way at some point during the season?
Well, the biggest problem was I had a lot of friends and a lot of fellow racers who were coming up to me at the races and you know, three races in, four races in, and we had three or four wins, and people just kept saying, oh, you're going to win the championship, you're going to win the championship, you're halfway there. And when you're racing, that's not something you want to hear, just because right. I know how great the competition is, and if I'm capable of going out there and winning three or four races, to think that somebody else isn't, I'd just be fooling myself. So when it all started coming together and the points were up on the board and we were taking a look at it, we knew we were in the driver's seat. We knew we had a real good shot at it. But that was about the time I started to unravel a little bit as a driver, started making some stupid mistakes, which everybody does, but it was just coming at a really bad time.
Was it just the pressure of knowing that you were like in the front in the points now and you're trying to hold on to it and not screw up? Is that what you were trying to do?
I don't even really think it was that. I think it was more paying too much attention to what was going on elsewhere. There were a lot of other good racers who were putting up a real good total as well on the West Coast. Brian Heierstay and Jeff Lane, and those guys are always in the mix and more than capable of winning a championship. And just knowing that they're there nipping at your heels, it kind of just added to the pressure of it. But my crew chief, Dave Udini, he stepped in at that point and said, just stop worrying about what's in the rearview mirror and look straight ahead, stay focused, we're in this together, we're going to win this thing. And his attitude and where he comes from, having worked with Jed Coughlin on a championship pro stock season, he just has that experience and that confidence and knows how to make me feel comfortable even though I was nervous of the whole situation.
That's great. That confidence is huge. You go out there thinking you're going to win this thing and knowing that you're capable of it, and even if you get behind, I mean, look at some of the other sports. I think we saw some of that stuff on the Super Bowl Sunday where, you know, I mean, it was looked like one guy was down and out, but they came back, you know. So
exactly, and knowing it's not over till it's over, that was one of the things that just kept jumping up in my mind. We were paying attention to the amount of races left and what people had to do to jump me in the points, and when you're looking at that, a lot of sleepless nights. And
right. Yeah, that's just amazing. So, you know, obviously a magnificent, magnificent year, but you're a former Supercomp champion at Indy, which is like how many cars show up for that category at Indy, and you took those guys all out. Tell us about that day while we have you here.
that race, that whole weekend, the more I think about it, I didn't realize what we had accomplished when we had won that. I was too young, and everything happened so soon. When I had got to the race and I was in the staging lanes for a time shot, I looked around and I seen all my competitors, and it seemed like everybody that was around me had won something, whether it be a national event, a championship, a divisional event. And I just remember saying to myself, you're out of your league. These guys are the real deal, and what are you doing here, you know? And to win it at the end of the weekend, to be the last one standing, that was real important, and that kind of that makes Indy mean so much to me. I go every year, one way or another. I'll be racing in some class, some car, and it just means so much more to me now than it even did then, because of what that race means, being the oldest race of them all.
Right, right. Oh yeah, winning Indy's massive, and it's congrats on that, and of course on the season. Do you have any aspirations of moving up to the pros one of these days and taking that outstanding driving style to pro stock or one of the other categories?
Well, those rides are very, very hard to come by, but I've always said I'd drive anything, and I'd always take a shot at anything I had a chance to drive. So if something were to come along, I'd definitely try it.
Very cool, very cool. Well, you mentioned your crew chief, who obviously was a solid, you know, anchor there for the team. Is there anybody else you want to thank while we have you on the radio?
Absolutely. Pete Luciano, my teammate, Barry Moyer, one of the best hardworking crew guys you could ask for. who's there with me round after round. It's just nice to have somebody that's so competent there with me and really stopped me from second-guessing myself a lot.
Mm-hmm.
As well as Charlie Greco and Davey Denny. They were very influential in this whole deal. Wouldn't have got to this point without them. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, sounds like a hell of a team that Charlie put together here.
Yep.
Pretty amazing. Well, let me ask you this question. There was three different categories. You take them any way you want. What was your most fun, your most miserable, and the craziest time you experienced this season, either at the track or on your way?
This season or at any point?
Oh, take it where you want to take it. Give us the best stories. That's what we're asking for.
I think one of the craziest things I think we've ever done, a friend of mine, John Majuli, and I were racing in Atlanta, Georgia, and we both lost first round, and I was pretty miserable, and so was he, and I was loading up my car and thinking about going home, and at the last minute he came over and said, strap your stuff down, we're going to New York for a national open.
Mm-hmm.
And we drove all night long through the pouring rain to get to a national open, and the windshield wiper stopped working on the truck. So it was just one of the craziest things we ever did, but looking back on it, it was a good time, and didn't really pay off. Neither one of us did good at the next race either, but just one of the crazy things that everybody does at some point, you know?
Yeah, so good. The road stories, man. Everybody in drag racing has them. They're so cool.
Well, absolutely.
How about your most fun? I guess Indy might be up there, but what was the most fun you ever had at the track at one day?
That probably would have been the Epping National in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Winning comp, that was my first national event win in 8 years. And
wow.
The same day, my girlfriend Allison Smith won in stock. So that was that was pretty huge. I mean, I was coming back the return road, and she was crossing the finish line, and her wind light turned on, and that was just a big day for both of us.
Oh, man. Everybody's having steaks and lobster that night, right, or whatever.
It was a good time. It was definitely a good time.
So great. Well, you got any other crazy racing stories that you have that you encountered over the years?
It would probably go on all night, but just the time spent trying to get a car ready to go racing the next day and work until 2, 3, 4 in the morning just so that you can be ready to go racing. I mean, that everybody probably has a story about doing something like that, but when you put that kind of hard work and dedication into it, it's nice to see it pay off, but a lot of times it doesn't work that way. We put in a lot of work and a lot of effort just to go home early, but It's all in the name of the sport, and it's what we do it because we all love it.
It's a labor. I don't know anybody who works harder at something that's supposed to be a hobby. You guys are just nuts doing that. But the fans so appreciate it when they see you out there.
Absolutely.
So we've got a couple minutes left before we start talking about our next segment. Tell us kind of how you got started, because obviously you're doing really well. You said you were young when you won Indy. Kind of what got you started drag racing, and how did you get that Indy winning ride?
I started racing in 97 in an Alder that my dad owned, and I didn't know if I would ever get a chance to race, because I never envisioned him getting out of the seat, but That's what started it all, and I never dreamed that it would lead to where it's led, but a lot of fun times racing at Cecil County and Maple Grove Raceway.
Mm-hmm.
And my original friends, they're all there, and they're the ones that, you know, you'll have forever. So
right.
A lot of great people we raced with there.
So cool. So, there's a couple of cars that we have on the poster that John did, which I love. Those are all great. Tell us about some of the other rides. Was it all in the dragster this year, or did you run a couple of different cars?
I pretty much stuck to the comp car this season, just because Charlie and Dave and the whole team was putting so much effort into it. And, like I said, I didn't want to be the weak link there. And I figured if I was jumping in and out of my car at the same time, I really thought that I could make some costly mistakes, and I didn't want to be the reason we weren't winning. And so I kind of stuck with the comp car, took my car out a few times to a few bracket races and had a good time and won some rounds, but for the most part at all the divisionals and nationals I stuck with my car. I mean with the comp car.
Sounds like you made the right choice, Doug Dahl. And let me turn you over to John Balkeman, because we've picked your brain about racing. Let's pick your brain about a little bit of rocking now. Take it over.
All right.
Thanks, BP. Doug, yeah. We'd like to know what your favorite kind of music is.
Probably classic rock. Probably a little bit of the Doors, a little bit of Van Halen.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely. That's where it's at.
You ever go to any concerts around there?
I've only ever been to one concert in my life, and it was AC/DC.
Oh, is that right?
Cool.
That's a good concert to go to, man. No doubt about
that.
So when you go to the races and you're getting ready, you're preparing to race or during your racing time, is there ever a song that you think about that gets you pumped up to go out there and win?
Not off the top of my head that I can think of, but definitely when you have a good song stuck in your head, it definitely seems to make the day go better. And I don't know, I'm a little superstitious, so if I've got a good song stuck in my head and I start going around, I tend to keep singing it the whole day. So
I know what you mean. I had a song stuck in my head this morning for about 3 hours, and it was, of all songs, I don't know how it got there, but it was She's a Fool by Leslie Gore, and it was just playing over and over, and I said, stop, you know, by about 11:30 this morning, I was going, just stop it, will you? You know, so, but hadn't been there all afternoon, and you know, you were a racer of the week in about, I think it was in 2013, when you had...
Yes, sir.
You had several cars, that I saw that you had been racing in, and when I saw that you won this NHRA championship, I was just really thrilled and delighted for you, and that you had a perfect season is just unbelievably fantastic, Doug. You did great,
thank you,
man.
Thank you.
Well, so cool. Well, Doug Dahl Jr., thank you so much for joining us on the show. Where are you heading next? Where can we go see you race?
Not sure where the first race of the year will be. It may be Virginia's division race, the Lucas Oil race. I'm going to head to the Gator Nationals and hang out and play crew guy for Allison. So we'll see how she does down there.
Awesome. Well, I tell you what, Doug Dahl Jr., ladies and gentlemen, undefeated in his 8 races he had to win. He swept the table. And the biggest point margin ever in the history of Comp Eliminator, which, baby, that's saying something. You know, all the big racers that have come out of Comp, that's amazing. So, Doug, congrats again, sir, and have a great 2017 season. We look forward to seeing you down the road somewhere.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for having me.
Ladies and gentlemen, Doug Dahl Jr., your 2016 NHRA Competition Eliminator champion. So great. Let's turn it over to John Balkeman. This take on this week's JB's Take and the Racer of the Week. Take it away, John.
Thanks, BP. My pick for Racer of the Week is Steve Plum from Moline, Illinois. Steve was recommended to me by his brother and former Racer of the Week, Tony Plum. And thank you, Tony. I chatted with Steve Sunday and got some info about his car, which is a 1972 Chevelle with a 355 small block Chevy engine. It has ported heads, a 622 roller cam, and it's a good race car when he takes it to the strip. This is Steve's 4th car, the Top Sportsman 2002 Camaro project that he's working on is ongoing. He told me that it's the second car he is completely building. And Steve told me his bucket list is to do Drag Week this year with the Chevelle. Now, about being a Racer of the Week, Steve posted this on his Facebook page last week, and I'd like to share it now. He said, okay, after pondering on this for a while, this is pretty cool, but I know plenty of others that deserve this before me. I'm just a guy trying to race and enjoy something I really love. I'll never make any money from it to profit, but then again, there's a lot of worse things that I can do. Without pro stock Jim Wilson and my dad, Leon, this would never have happened, and I'm forever grateful to the both of them for the reality of a dream. I just want a really nice, clean car and a group of kick-ass friends to enjoy it with and have many laughs and great memories with. Thanks for this honor, John, for my little piece of this shiny moment. My reply to Steve's post reads as follows. You guys and the entire Quad City drag racing family and friends are precisely the folks I'm looking to feature, and I love the stories and the history of it all. It's the guy parked over there on the grass with the blue Chevy or Mopar or Ford that's out there going rounds, and his wife and his buddies are helping him. That's my pick for Racer of the Week. He's out here doing it on his own dollar because he loves being here, getting to have a good time with his family and friends, and he gets a few runs in while he's at it. In my world, it don't get no better than that. Y'all are great people and racers. Y'all know what it's all about. Steve's brother Tony added these words to what Steve said. The cool thing about it all is that we will be going racing together. That in itself are what memories and dreams are made of. I couldn't ask for anything better than getting to go racing with you and Dad. Steve Plum is a great representative of grassroots drag racing, and we wish you good luck, safe racing, and the best of times in the future, Steve. Back to you, BP.
Thank you, Don. Another great Racer of the Week in JB's take. Let's move on to our somber duty that we have every week. This is our Lost Friends segment. Three racers this week passed away. On the 21st, Greg Platter, unfortunately, was killed in a work-related accident. On the 26th, Dick Gardner, a super stock driver of some note, passed away. And on the 27th, just today, we found out Stan Lomolino, one of the early drag racing stars, a big-time dragster racer, passed away after several years in the sport. So Greg Platter, Dick Gardner, Stan Lomolino, proud to know you gentlemen and to read about you, and condolences to your family and your many, many friends. Let's go ahead and wrap up the show, folks. We want to thank Doug Dahl Jr., who was awesome, and what an amazing season.
Yes.
John Bachman, you bet. Danny White, Jeff and Dustin Gilder, Barb Santucci, and Bud, Mr. Drag News DeBoer. Have a great week. We're going to see you next Monday night as we feature the youngest pro in the history, I think, probably of drag racing, certainly in the newest, pro stock rookie Tanner Gray, who just had one heck of a good race out in Arizona. So the young man has taken over the Gray Motorsports Pro Stock ride, and we're going to find out what that's all about. So join us next Monday night for Tanner Gray. Until then, my name is Bill Pratt. On behalf of John, Jeff, and the entire drag race team, we will see you guys next week. Bye-bye. The days were long and our hearts were down.